Willkommen bei Zukünfte Bildung, dem Podcast, der die Kraft der Imagination für eine vielfältige und nachhaltige Zukunft erkundet. Begleiten Sie uns, während wir uns mit den neuesten Entwicklungen im Bereich der kulturellen Nachhaltigkeit und Bildung für die Zukunft auseinandersetzen. Entdecken Sie alternative Zukunftsvisionen und entwickeln Sie gemeinsam mit uns Handlungsmöglichkeiten für eine Welt des Wandels. Tauchen Sie ein in die Zukunft als Möglichkeitsraum mit Zukünfte Bildung.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Zukünfte Bildung. I'm Joanna Capato and today I'm here together with Emanuele Bardone from University of Tartu. Emanuele Bardone is the head of the Center for Educational Technology and a professor of Educational Technology at the University of Tartu. Welcome, Emanuele. It's great to have you here.
Good to meet you.
Let's start with a brief introduction. Could you tell us a bit about yourself and what brought you to your field?
It's a very complex story because I basically moved to Estonia some 15 years ago, where I'm currently working. As you were saying, I'm working in the field of educational technology, which wasn't my original field of study. So I studied philosophy when I was still living in Italy. But I've been always interested in questions regarding technology and cognition. So when I moved to Estonia and I started dealing with educational technology topics, so technology and education, it felt quite natural. So much so that now my own research interests and teaching happen at the intersection of these three pillars, philosophy, so an attempt to deeply understand what is going on, education, so teaching and learning, and technology. And because I don't have one single discipline that identifies me, I've started presenting myself as an undisciplinary researcher. So not interdisciplinary researcher, but undisciplinary researcher. Sometimes also undisciplined, but you know.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your input about undisciplinary and undisciplined. But if I can dig a little deeper, was there a key moment or inspiration that led you to focus on how technology can shape education?
Yeah, so as I was saying, when I was still living and working in Italy, my field of research was cognitive science. And one aspect that stood out during those years is that whenever we do something, making decisions, we solve problems, the tools that we use mediate how we make decisions and how we solve problems. So it came naturally that when I moved to educational technology, the very same problem arose. So how do we teach and learn, knowing that what we do is very much mediated by the tools that we use? And because very often we don't necessarily choose the tools that we use because we find them, then the problem is how to bring more awareness as to the problems as well as the possibilities that such tacit mediations bring about when you teach or when you learn or when you do both. So yeah, so the problem that led me into this field was exactly this: how can we effectively teach and learning, knowing that these activities are, as we say, distributed across tools, organizations, things that are not necessarily in our brain, but they are outside. And in spite of the fact that they are not in our brain, they are still affecting our performances and ultimately our experiences.
Thank you so much. Maybe let's move on from tools to something else, to futurist literacy, because that's also a topic that you're working with. And you have been working with the topic of futurist literacy for some years now. How did you get interested in futurist literacy?
So it was, I would say, a lucky chance, meaning that our project on culture, nature, literacy gave me the opportunity to start developing this area of interest and research and teaching. During my postdoc, which was in Tallinn, I dealt with the concept, which is chance-seeking, in teaching and learning, which was basically how chance encounters very often affect the way we solve problems and we make decisions, especially when teaching and learning is are concerned. So I was already aware of the way in which we engage in more in what is usually called prospective cognition, so how we think of the future, how we look forward as opposed to when we look backward. So somehow I was already interested in anything related to this more prospective forward-looking activities in teaching and learning, but I never thought that I would get into issues such as how can we teach other people how to deal with the futures, futures thinking itself, which is now one of the topics I'm interested in. And there was another very important aspect that is very much connected with educational technology, which I kind of overlooked, which is this. Every time that we're dealing with especially emerging technologies such as AI, we cannot avoid thinking about how these technologies can change something in the future, for better or worse. Okay, so I'm not a techno-deterministic person. I don't think that technology leads change. But certainly, when we think of what the future has in store, what we could do in the future, the technologies that we use shape the way we think about the future, and the way in which we think about the future shapes the technologies. And I think that AI is a very interesting example in this regard, because what is AI? AI is partly the technology that we use, the machine learning algorithmic techniques and all the rest of it. But AI is also about the stories that we tell, that we produce around how the future of education could be, and also society. But in this case, we can just limit ourselves to education.
Yes, and especially I think AI is a wonderful example for what you were trying to explain, because I think also in Austria, of course, in Estonia, I guess, it's a big, big topic around the discussion on education, how to proceed with this new technology and how to work with it, or how to sometimes also ban it from schools. So do you think there's a connection on working with AI and futures literacy, and why would it be important for educators today to know about futures literacy and to be maybe futures literate?
I think that the connection is fundamental. Interestingly enough, a few days ago, I bumped into AI literacy framework that was mentioning futures as one of the areas of concern of AI literacy. So I see that there is a strong overlapping between AI literacy, or a way of interpreting it, and futures literacy. Why? Precisely for the reason that I was trying to explain before. AI is at the same time a bunch of algorithmic techniques developed over the past 70 years, roughly. So it's about algorithms, it's about the technical aspect of it. But at the same time, we would not have AI without engaging with possible futures. I must say that our worries and concerns stem or originate precisely from the second aspect, which then influences the first one, of course. So the way we look at the future influences the way we look at AI. And this is a fundamental topic because, for example, if we are futures illiterate, we may actually think that whenever we hear somebody saying, oh, AI will replace your job, we will actually believe in it. But actually, it's just a way to describe a possible future while being unaware that this is a discourse, this is a story. Often, such stories are also told because there are financial interests, corporate interests. So in the end, it's very important to be aware that futures are produced. They are not predictions. They are not predicting the future. But they are often anticipating the futures or what it could be in relation to one's position in society, So interests, power issues, and this is actually very important. And since I'm actually teaching a course on futures thinking, one important aspect is always to understand that when we're dealing with the future, we're dealing with alternatives. So we have to be aware when, as we say, the future has been colonized by the present interest, of course. So the connection is certainly very, 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 very strong.
Thank you so much. It's so interesting to listen to what you're thinking about futures thinking as well. And actually, we met each other at the Erasmus Plus project CNL, Culture, Nature, Literacy, where you also worked with futures thinking. And you also had the great idea to imply AI in the project as well. How were you able to connect the project's goal with your research interests?
Yeah, so for the project, I was responsible for the production of a MOOC about CNL, so Culture, Nature, Literacy. So the idea was, in the project, we also produced a handbook, again, on the same topic. And the idea of the MOOC was essentially to engage virtually citizens, especially pre-service and in-service teachers with this topic. And we thought that the MOOC was an additional option to achieve this goal. So the handbook has a certain format. The MOOC has another format that allows for multimedia content, assignments, activities to carry out. So it's a little bit broader and more targeted to, let's say, learning activities. And because the MOOC was designed as a self-study tool, we actually thought that we could deploy reflexive learning, meaning engaging students in reflecting after having gone through some of the topics of the MOOC. And originally, we actually produced a series of questions that we produced collectively within the project. So questions that were aiming at helping students reflect. So reflection was a key there. And because this was happening after the introduction of ChatGPT, we thought that we could provide the questions as a reflection tool, as well as a custom GPT that was specifically designed for the students to reflect on the same questions, but in a more, I wouldn't say dialogical way, because we don't have a dialogue with the chatbot, but in a more conversational way, with some sort of, in a less static way. Of course, you can have a list of questions on paper, but you can also, based on those questions, create this custom GPT, this custom chatbot that could add a little bit of dynamic to something that would be very static, you know, reading the question and thinking about the answer. So I took this task upon my shoulder. It wasn't something out of the ordinary. OpenAI allows you to create, as I said, these custom GPTs. So it's not the generic ChatGPT that can say whatever it wants. But with the custom GPT, the behavior and also the answers that the chatbot provides you with are in theory tied to the instructions that you incorporate into the design of the custom GPT. So it's a way to avoid what they are called hallucinations, as well as certain behaviors that the chatbot can have that you don't want to have. So for example, our custom chatbot was designed to ask questions and to help students reflect rather than providing answers. I think that it was an interesting experiment, also because since ChatGPT is multi-language, we could provide this tool virtually for all European languages, so not just German, Estonian, and English, but also, I don't know, Italian, Spanish, French, because ChatGPT provides this opportunity of handling different languages. Of course, the performance of ChatGPT is different across different languages, and yet, this is a way to be more inclusive.
This is a wonderful, actually, example also on how you can use ChatGPT in teacher education. Do you have maybe other examples, or how do you see AI being used in teacher education Maybe you have used it already in educating your students.
These are very difficult questions, and I think that it's still an ongoing process. So, and just to make an example, I was in a training course for Estonian teachers on Monday and Wednesday, on Tuesday and Wednesday. It was a really interesting experience because we are living a quite unique time that can be probably compared to late 90s when the web came about, or after a few years the web came about, where we were rethinking and to some extent reimagining what we're doing, not necessarily to radically change everything, but to have an opportunity to make an assessment about what we're doing. And I think that this is what AI is doing now. So it's not just about, okay, how do you use AI? And I'm coming to this question, but I want to broaden my answer, or the scope of my answers. So it's not just about, okay, how do you use AI? How should we be using AI? But it's also about understanding if what we're doing is something to preserve, to change, or what. And these are very important questions because AI is now, especially this generative AI, is everywhere. It's changing the infrastructure that we use to communicate, especially, I would say, to produce content. It seems that communication is not so much affected, although there are many people who are now using chatbots as some sort of therapist or coach. But it's mostly about the way we interact with written content. So this is the premise to how I'm trying to use the tool. So I have the luxury of having online courses, mostly based on webinars. So these are not MOOCs. My courses are not organized as MOOCs, but we have an international crowd of people from all over the world because we have a master's program that is international. And all my activities, teaching activities, webinars are online, which means that we can have transcripts of everything that we talk about. And today I'm going to have a webinar. It's the last webinar of a course that is called Critical Issues of Technology Use in Education, where we're going to use during the webinar a custom bot, a custom GPT that we collectively designed to revisit the course. So, because it's an online course and we use Zoom, we have the chance to have all the webinars transcribed. So, we have basically the transcriptions of everything that we have said. We have all the exchanges on Teams, and we have created a custom GPT that is fed on this huge amount of data. All the transcripts and the interactions on Teams, because we are using Teams. And then we added instructions so that during the webinar, we will have this sort of artificial agent, artificial teacher, that will bring up issues based on the transcripts that we fed into it. And this is an interesting way to try to use, in this case, large language models, to mine what we have already shared. So to empower our collective intelligence, which is, I think, one of the most important issues that we have to address. So collectively, we produce a lot. Large language models are large because they make use of all our conversations that we have collectively produced. And now perhaps we can use it this time, not in this exploitative way, unfortunately, but in order to amplify our ability as a collectivity to take stock of what we have been exchanging. And I think that this is a way, in my opinion, to positively profit from this technology, which has huge socio and ecological implications.
Thank you for giving us an insight on your webinar. It sounds like such an interesting idea. Looking into the future, how do you see the relationship between AI, futures literacy, and education evolving?
I think that we will be talking more and more about futures literacy because I hope that the students will realize the importance of it And now I'm going to say something that might sound perhaps too harsh, but I'm very much concerned about mental health of the younger generations. I think that personally, I may not fully understand how they see the world, because the world has changed so much since when I was their age. And I think that in order to avoid this sort of epidemics related to depression, anxiety, I think that futures literacy and also CNL literacy, culture, nature literacy, might be actually not the pill, but something to produce both emancipatory practices, emancipatory learning practices, but also ideas that can inform or can make us feel a bit more hopeful about the future. Because this is the big dangers in the big danger, in my opinion, that if we keep colonizing the future with awful scenarios, the younger generation will not be able to live fully. They will be trapped into their fears, anxieties. They will be more and more depressed, and we may lose entire generations. And especially in a moment when we have to be brave, we have to be courageous, we have to dare to change. And this is, I think, the value aspect of futures literacy and futures thinking. Because we talk so much about the future. And I was actually reading some days ago an article that was describing the reasons why we are rediscovering the future, because it's not that the future has never been there. Religions, for religions, future has been always a very important point. So in Christianity, for example, we're still waiting for Jesus to come again. Or in some cases, there are sects who are waiting for Jesus to come again. So there is always this future horizon looming on us. But in the present time, future is no longer connected to religion, but it's connected to technology. It's very much a political issue, and this is the way I would explain the reason why we should have more and more futures literacy. And I hope at least that we will be addressing the topic more and more.
Thank you so, so much, Emanuele, for the insight to your ideas, to your work, to how you see the future. I would love to talk another hour with you about all that. Thank you so much for your time. And yes, thank you to all the listeners for joining us today for this episode of Zukunftsbildung. Stay tuned for our next episode coming out on the third Monday of the month.